This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Steve Rosenblum.
We suck, so your self-quarantine doesn't have to.
Mark Grody.
I think there will be lasting derivatives of this once we get through it, and hopefully we will, with minimal damage, that people will be more aware, honestly, of washing their hands and
good thing.
And apparently wiping.
They suck, so you don't have to.
They can do what they have to do. They know what they have to do. Now they don't have any problem getting it done.
Founding members of the WB Club.
Wake and bake. Come on.
Where's Toby?
So I'm practicing, you know, social distancing, and I have a few tips for everybody, you know. No sharing pipes or joints, things like that.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote,
stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday Suckage on the Score.
We should be 670 WSUK. Good morning, welcome in. Saturday Suckage, Steve Rosenblum, Mark Grody with you. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, Yo 1104. And in between Bears Zoom calls and soon to be ditching out for a Bears interview for his many pregame shows, talking of Bears week that is a day delayed and a call that has been made. Mark Grody, we have a new play caller for the Bears, and his name is not Matt Nagy. Tell us.
His name is Bill Lazor. Matt Nagy made a dramatic announcement yesterday that he is handing off the play calling for now to Bill Lazor, who has been this year in his first year with the Bears, the offensive coordinator. So it was very interesting yesterday because we'd gathered on Zoom. It was a Friday, so there's always that feeling of this is the end of the day. Nothing's going to happen. It's Friday.
Which it's Thursday, though. Mark,
right,
it was Thursday yesterday on Friday.
But you can't put – it's hard to just put your brain into that that moment. You know, it really is.
I know.
So – and that's what it felt like. It was like, okay, get on Zoom here. Got on there last second. And usually Matt Nagy just jumps in. This year his style has been to just jump on the mic and say – I'm open for questions. You know, last year and in 2018, he would always have an opening statement. He would always say how things went, and he'd give an update on the injuries. This year, he has quelled that and has just been very, come on, come at me. Yesterday was different because you had the PR person saying, Matt, whenever you're ready. So that led me to believe, okay, he's going to say something here. And I figured maybe it was an injury update or somebody going on IR. And he kind of took a deep breath and said, I've made the decision that I'm going to pass off play calling to Bill Lazor, which was, I think, a shock to the system of every single reporter on Zoom to hear that. Because, obviously, we've been asking about it for 2 weeks. I think that every one of us has had a question to somebody at some point in time about the potential of play call changing. But I don't think deep down, I'll just speak for myself, deep down I never thought that this would happen, that it would. And if it did happen, again, Matt Nagy had said that we would never know about it. So he changed course on that, and good for him. I give the guy a lot of credit for making the move that he did, because he had to drop a lot of ego to do this. He had to drop something that he loves to do, which you'll hear a little bit later on when we do our What Mark Heard segment. And it's this is kind of it was a monumental move for Matt Nagy. I'll just put it that way. In sports context, this was a monumental move by him. And I think on the overall, I have no idea if Bill Lazor will be a good play caller and if it'll work out with the Bears. But that Matt Nagy did this, I think will, whatever credibility he's lost over the last couple of years due to the Bears offense, I think he will regain eventually because of this move that he made.
Well, there's much to discuss with this. One of the first points that was brought up, I remember I followed Greg Gabriel, former Bears executive and a former score voice. I follow him on Twitter, and he made the point that by whether you keep it quiet or not, whatever you're doing, when you announce it the way Matt Nagy did, you make the Vikings, Monday's opponent, do more work. Because now, while you are trying to figure out how to beat Matt Nagy, you've been doing this all week, and you've lost four times to him, although last season, the end of season loss, was they were playing, they suited up a Pop Warner team, and the Bears had to struggle to get to 8-8. The idea is now they have to go back to Bill Lazor's last play calling for the sequencing, the patterns, the trends, so they've made more work for him, which is why you put coaches tend to run plays that don't seem meaningful during a season, but they make other teams do extra work, and it just distracts them from their focus. So now they're having to do that. You're in the last 24 hours almost that this has happened. What makes Bill Lazor likely to change? Like, let's go back to the play chart for last week's first half. Turnover on downs when they couldn't get a first down on David Montgomery falling forward. Punt, completely screw up a field goal try, if not a touchdown, at the end of first half because they are undisciplined, disorganized, and horribly coached. So how does Bill Lazor fix that, if in any way? What do you think his effect could be on something like that?
I think the most important part for Bill Lazor is what he does on first and second downs and to not get into those situations. And I think that said, there's two things that, we can go into a lot of different things, but there's two things that stand out that maybe Bill Lazor can improve upon or make better or make a bigger part of the game plan. One of those is Cole Kmet, the Bears tight end, about whom we ask Matt Nagy every week as well. And Nagy always agrees that, yeah, we got to get him more into the game. He's out there a lot. He's just not catching a lot of football. So Cole Kmet would be the number one guy that I would look at to see if he can stretch the field a little bit more or be more available in the middle of the field for those 10 to 15 yard plays. And so there's a Cole Kmet factor. And then, of course, the running game, too. Will there be anything different in, I don't think schematically at this point, but in terms of how he uses different guys? Will he stick with David Montgomery? Even if Montgomery has a play where he loses a yard, will he then go back to him on the next play for a three-yard gain and then maybe even dare to go back to him on a third and four situation? Who knows? How will he use Cordarrell Patterson or not use Cordarrell Patterson? Will he use Cordarrell, right? I mean, if there's a third and two, will he pitch to Cordarrell Patterson or not? So I think that those are two things specifically that I would zero in on, and there are many more areas that you can go down as well. Something I thought was really interesting, Steve, you mentioned the Zoom calls. Right before we came on the air, I just finished Zooming with the rest of the media, with One, Jimmy Graham, who is, of course, the Chicago Bears tight end. And naturally, he was asked, hey, what do you think about Matt Nagy giving up play calling duties? And he said, I had no idea he was doing it. I don't really watch the news. So he was genuinely surprised. And it wasn't a gamesmanship thing, because he kind of looked back and he's like, I had no idea. I had no idea this had happened. So, and the more I thought about it, I guess it makes sense, because somebody brings in the play call and they run the plays that they're supposed to run, period. They don't hear the coach in their ears. They don't hear the play being called by the coach ever throughout a game, unless you have one of the earpieces, and that usually goes to the quarterback of the team. So the more I thought about it, the more I understood. But it also said to me, and Matt Nagy said this, that nothing has changed in practice, and putting together the game plan and the architect of the actual plays is still going to be Matt Nagy. And then it is Bill Lazor who gets the big chart on Sundays, or Mondays in this case, and he gets to choose from the menu on that day. So the menu is the same. It's just the options might be, but you know, you, Steve, might want to have a Grand Slam breakfast. I might want to have a Moons Over My Hammy. You know, that's the way I'm looking at it.
Right. Well, it's got to have cheese on it. That's all I know. It's got to have cheese and then a
and
side
hash browns,
of cheese.
Right? Some hash browns?
Right, and cheese on the hash browns. And it's got to have extra. So, and salsa. All right, so there's much to suss out there. First of all, Jimmy Graham doesn't watch the news. All I've seen is that he really watches potential tacklers as they run by him, because he refuses to block anybody. But there's a need to know who the play caller is, I would think, because that's his game plan. You know, you said the game plan remains the same, or the magic card remains the same, and it's up to Bill Lazor to cut it.
Yeah.
So he can cut all these plays in half. But if practice is still the same, see, what I saw anyways, and heard Matt Nagy say after they blew the 4th-and-1, it was a simple dive play, right? On the first, they were going to make a big statement, make a big move. They were going to run the ball on 4th-and-1, and David Montgomery, who was brought in for that kind of tackle-busting contact. It was a simple dive play, and the offensive line was unable to execute it. The running back couldn't execute it. The Bears couldn't execute it.
Wasn't it that Jermaine Ifedi totally blew his block? I thought that was the one problem with that play.
Well, right. He's part of the offensive line, studs.
I know. I was just saying, like, it seemed like a singular thing to me. But
well, Rashad Coward didn't know what was coming at him either. There's supposed to be a bit of help on the play. But the idea is that the guys being coached on the offensive line couldn't execute that. The coach of the Bears couldn't get his team in practice. They couldn't do the basics, a simple dive play that you run in peewee football. So Matt Nagy says that, and I think that indicts him and where the Bears' practices are and where the Bears' coaches' focus is. And I would be happier if he wasn't just giving up play calling, but giving up whatever emphasis on the offensive game plan and simply focusing on basics. This is an undisciplined team. It's a team that is not well practiced, because they can't execute stuff in games that seems so basic. And I don't know if Bill Lazor, I just don't see how he overcomes all that, and I'm looking for hope that maybe there's a difference. And if that's the way the team is still going to be coached, am I missing something, Mark? Is there a reason to have more optimism than just saying, well, it's a different guy calling the same badly coached team's plays?
Well, I think that one of the parts of this, too, and again, maybe Bill Lazor will be great as a play caller. We just don't know how it's going to look with Lazor calling the plays. But there's also the other part of this where it's like a manager change in the middle of a season or coaching, whatever. You get that bump sometimes that the employees, and in this case the players, they all look around and go, oh, bleep, the coach is demoting himself
This is serious. Like, you, there's a human nature reaction, I think, to things like that. I better straight. If the coach is demoting himself, what the hell's going to happen to me? You know, I can't, you know, behind his back, I can't be like, why is Matt Nagy do? Because what about Matt Nagy? You know, some of these guys might be rooting it along. Like, why am I not getting the ball more? Now they have to say to themselves, oh, man, like, what about me? So sometimes there's that natural human reaction to, you better get your stuff straight too on the field, because as much as it drives people crazy when Matt Nagy, when the usual answer to the question of what's wrong with the offense, and sometimes we'll zero in on, hey, what's wrong with the run game, and the answer typically has been, it's everybody on the field. I know that drives people crazy, but now it does come into focus. Now it's like, okay, Matt Nagy could throw his arms up and say, all right, this is what you all wanted. I'm going to go ahead and focus more on the offense, defense, and special teams, and I'm going to let my guy Laser do it. Now what's your excuse? So all of a sudden, everybody else has more culpability than Matt Nagy. So, and like this is all peripheral. That's the outside want. It's almost desperation to get those human nature wins or the wins that come from within. But I think that's part of it. And that's always part of it, right? With a manager change or a pitching coach change or any change in any sport, sometimes you get that bump, right?
Right. There's no question about that. And speaking exactly to that you get the, what some call it, the dead cat bounce, or the bounce of enthusiasm, or, oh my God. That's why Jimmy Graham should watch the news, because you're maybe he doesn't care that his job's on the line. That's it. He's done with caring. He doesn't have to. He's Jimmy Graham. But here's a perfect example. This was the put together by Mark Potash of the Chicago Sun-Times. He tweeted out yesterday, when Bill Lazor was promoted to offensive coordinator with the Bengals in week 3 in 2017, Andy Dalton had a 47.2 rating with 0 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. In his first 2 games with Lazor calling the shots, Dalton had ratings of 124.1 and 146.0 with 6 TDs and 0 INTs. So, .. And then Mark Potash wrote, and here's the rest of the story. The Bengals still finished 32nd and last in the NFL in total offense and 26th in scoring that season. So, changing the play caller may not mean as much as changing the general manager, who does not know what a quarterback looks like, does not know what an offensive line looks like. And this resounds so many ways. This has so many ripples and tsunami-like effect on the entire organization when you have such a bad offense in a league that changes every rule to make the offense perform well, that now you're asking your defense to play offense. You really need the defense to score. It would have been a tie game last week, right, if the defense has scored, like the Tennessee defense scored?
That was their only hope last week. You're right. And I think the biggest part of this still, for the Bears, back to the Bears offense, is that offensive line. I mean, that's the part. Okay, what Matt Nagy's saying, hypothetically, Bill, what can you do with this offensive line? What plays can you call off the chart that are going to be better than mine, that can work in concert with a banged up offensive line, an inexperienced offensive line, one that has, you know, really, like Nick Foles has not been good this year. And I think to some degree with my eyes, it's just because, and I guess quarterbacks should overcome this kind of thing, but he just looks terrified in the pocket. You know, when the pocket begins to collapse and he has to step out, he just looks helpless, man. You know, it just doesn't, like, moving around. And he obviously, he has never been a mobile quarterback. That ain't his thing. That's not his skill. So when he's flushed out of there, it's like you just kind of covering your eyes at that point.
Compare and contrast the terror in Nick Foles' eyes and Jay Cutler's eyes when when Mike March was calling seven-step drops for an offensive line that couldn't hold two steps.
Wow. Well, let's go back to Jamarcus Webb on that one. And what was it, a Thursday night game against the New York Giants when I think Jay Cutler was actually sacked, no exaggeration, six times, I think, in the first half of the game.
I thought it was nine times and then bounced on his head for a concussion.
That might have been it. Why not? I don't know. Tell Martz I said bleep you. There was that. And then the dirty little secret. The dirty little secret about Jay Cutler, though, is Jay Cutler was actually a mobile quarterback.
Oh, he was.
Jay Cutler could run. He was an athlete.
You bring up
the...
You bring up the Nick Foles issue and the fact that he's looked like crap. And he has been horrible. And he generally is horrible, you know, when he's the starter. I mean, the Philadelphia years, the only time... coming off the bench and then getting to start as an Eagle has been the only time he's been worthwhile. Every place else, it's been really bad. And while you might want to say, well, who could do anything with that Bears offensive line as a quarterback, as a play caller, as a head coach, let me tell you this. The same Titans team that beat the Bears last week was beaten the week before by a Bengals team that started all five backups, had no starting linemen in its starting lineup, and they beat the Titans, the same Titans team that beat the Bears. So it can be done, it should be done, it has to be done. And I guess the Bears' only option is to fire Harry Hiestand again, because he seemingly is the problem. If you have thoughts on the Bears' moves, our phone number is 312-644-6767. That's the number you can call. If you do, we have a breaking phone call sounder that Trash Panda will introduce you on the air. And you can also use that same number to text us. And you can text us. The Text Zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. We will take a break and we come back. We have more to discuss with this. And I don't know, Mark, is this because I don't want to do what Mark heard when you leave to go do your interview. We're going to be losing Mark for a while, which is what Saturday Suckage is all about, as Mark's going to be doing an interview for this many pregame shows of which he is a part. So would we want to do what Mark heard, what you heard throughout the week, what you heard leading up to what you heard yesterday, leading up to Monday night's game?
Yes, because this would be a good window, because I think the Bears are hitting the practice field shortly. So I know that no Bears players will be calling me while they're practicing, or they would be in trouble, and so would I probably with the Bears. So, yeah, no, let's do it next, man. I got four good sound bites from the week that I want to bring to you and get your reaction on.
All righty, then. That's what we're doing, our new segment called What Mark Heard, and we will all find out and we will discuss it. This is Saturday Suckage, and the Bears' offense is a perfect example of why. This is what we're talking about. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Every idea starts with a problem. Warby Parker's was simple. Glasses are too expensive. So they set out to change that. By designing glasses in-house and selling directly to customers, they're able to offer prescription eyewear that's expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Warby Parker glasses are made from premium materials like impact-resistant polycarbonate and custom acetate, and they start at just $95, including prescription lenses. Get glasses made from the good stuff. Stop by a Warby Parker store near you.
Under or hero in your local community who deserves a special shout-out during the game from Jeff Joniak, you can nominate them to be the T-Mobile Hometown Hero of the Game now through the end of the season. Visit 670thescore.com/contests. For more details, visit 670thescore.com/contests. No purchase necessary to enter. Must be 18 or older. Nominate through December 30th.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
We don't have turds on this team.
It's time for What Mark Heard, a rundown of the best sound coming out of Hallis Hall this week on Saturday Suckage with Mark Brody and Steve Rosenblum.
Boy, everyone is stupid except me.
I like the end of that opening. Thanks, Trash Panda, but I don't get the first part. Who are you? Upon whom are you? On whom are you casting aspersions with the Matt Nagy turd comment?
I just thought it was funny. I didn't, there's no real context there. I just thought it was funny. It's sound from Hallis Hall and a segment from about Hallis Hall sound. So I thought it was funny.
Okay, it is funny. There's no question. But someone could connect some dots right there. And just asking, okay, well.
And just the general idea, there's no turds on this team. I didn't think I had to explain that part.
Okay.
Well, all right, fine. So obviously you need some tweaking then because you're not approving.
No,
I'm going to have to do some tweaking.
Try again.
I just didn't know if there was a message that I connected some dots. I thought, well, look, the passive-aggressive Trash Panda is sending messages to the host, as it usually happens in radio. So
that wasn't what I was doing. Maybe there was a subconscious level that was saying, hey, screw these guys. But no, maybe. I just thought it was funny.
How do I get out of here? All right. We are doing What Mark Heard. Top of the hour, we will talk with Patrick Finley of the Sun-Times. He will join us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. But right now, we are doing What Mark Heard, which is our segment where Mark brings us things he heard this week at Hallis Hall. Mark.
There was a lot from which to choose from yesterday's Matt Nagy press conference regarding the play calling change, and that's something that we're going to talk about a lot throughout the show and already have, obviously. So I'm going to bring you one cut from that yesterday, which I think is essential to all of this, the Bears head coach, Matt Nagy. And it's something that we knew, but he was honest about it in terms of how much of his professional career was wrapped up in play calling. Here's Matt Nagy.
The Monday through Saturday stuff doesn't change as far as, installing the plays and putting stuff in and all that. That's still fun. And is it hard to do? Absolutely. I'd be lying to every one of you guys if I told you that this is easy. It's not easy. It's one of my favorite parts of coaching. I love calling plays. I love it. Is it permanent? Like you were asking before, no, it's not permanent, but guess what? If this is what's best for the team, then that's what I'm going to do. And we need to do what's best for us, not what's best for Matt Nagy. And that's where I'm at. And I'm excited about it, you know, looking forward to it.
As important and as strong of words as we've ever heard from Matt Nagy, I think. And we knew this. We knew how excruciating this would be for him, but he admitted it. I mean, this would be like Steve Rosenblum if he was told that he was not allowed to connect dots or board planes or present tables being ready for people or eat red meat or drink wine or smoke a cigar. That's what we're talking about here for Matt Nagy. So do you, Steve Rosenblum, I don't know if sympathy is the right word, but do you give him some credit for doing what he did? Do you think that it was a bold move by him? Because I didn't think it was something he would do.
I do. A texter brought up the Tech Zone brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. The text number 312-644-6767 brought up the possibility that it was pressure from above that prompted him to do that. But however it happened, it was later than we all thought it should be. But I understand the big move because it's one of his four major food groups. There's no question. That's his Grand Slam breakfast, calling plays. That's why he was brought in. The thing that we've seen, what's been exposed, is that while he's calling plays, he gets caught up in pretty shiny things. He doesn't recognize the game in front of him. He doesn't have a scheme or a system. He just has a bunch of cocktail napkins with bitchin' plays on them. Maybe this step back allows him to assemble some form, some shape, some kind of scheme or system, but I've not seen it. I've just seen a guy who's in love with all of his different words and verbiage and play calls, because nothing has been more damning in my world to Matt Nagy's credibility is the failure of Nick Foles, of the offense under and with Nick Foles. Because that was supposed to be better. It wasn't supposed to be as stupid as with Mitch. And it's been awful. Nick Foles was brought in to avoid the problem that has grown out of Nick Foles being a quarterback and Matt Nagy calling plays and the team not being ready. So I understand. I give him credit for taking a big step, for surrendering one of you know, his race on debt. Now, see, and hope, if you're a Bears fan, you just hope he did the right thing, and maybe he grows from this.
To fill in one of the blanks from the texter to whom you referred, Matt Nagy was not asked if Ryan Pace was involved in the decision-making, so that it, I don't think he was, because it sounded like this was something that Matt Nagy was discussing with his assistants for the most part. It sounds like it's been his decision. Pace's name has never come up in any of the questioning about this, but I guess that's still something that needs to be answered. You mentioned Nick Foles and the fact that it is, except for the Atlanta game where he looked like Tom Brady, the Nick Foles experience so far has not been great. And we touched on this a little bit earlier, and that is the idea of him eluding pressure, which oftentimes comes through footwork. And Nick Foles was asked about his ability as far as footwork is concerned.
I think the thing in the pocket is you're just always working it, working on pushing up, trying to find time and everything like that. So, you know, from that standpoint with footwork and everything, you know, I feel good. It's something we work every day and, you know, something that we just keep improving on.
How have you felt about it during this recent stretch overall?
You know, I feel like footwork and everything, like I feel good. You know, like I said, we work on it every day. That's really all I have to say on it.
Interesting that he was very short with that answer, and usually Nick Foles is very thorough with each and every answer. So I think he knows that's a problem, and I think part of it is, and this is just my opinion, that it's the guys in front of him, that Nick Foles was never signed by any team ever for his ability to be elusive or his ability to run the football. So I think that's his way of giving as short of an answer possible because he knows it's a problem. He's been sacked 8 times in the last 2 games, and, you know, I'd say about half of those were
all sacks are bad, but you know what I mean? Like some were worse than others. And I'd say about half of them were really costly in situations that could have been avoided. So, like I said, there's a helplessness when he steps out of the pocket.
The Atlanta game was different in that he came in relief, which has always been his specialty. It's been more of a specialty. The starts, he's 2-4, and they're just all the numbers are down and bad and scary, and that was supposed to have been avoided. That was supposed, because he was here, he worked with all these coaches, there was a comfort level. And it appears as the, and all we talk about, all we hear about is we work on it every day. Well, it's not been very productive. That's all I can say. You're not working smart. You're not working efficiently. And I don't know what else to make of it. He's not fast. You throw a bunch of short passes, get the ball out of your hand. They tried that one game. They're throwing sideways, but I throw a bunch of short, quick passes. And when you see a bunch of safeties creeping up and cornerbacks creeping up, you get max protect, and then you throw deep, and you kind of loosen things up. Throw it to Darnell Mooney. And you know what? He tried to throw to Darnell Mooney, and he overshot him. And that was so much was set up with that play, and Darnell Mooney was just going to be a hero, wasn't he? Wasn't that what that play was all about?
Well, are you talking about the one from 2 weeks ago where he was
on the double move? All these horrible things run together. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, of course. Of course. Yeah, that would have tied the game at the time, and it would have changed everything. As much as went wrong in that game, that was the Rams game, right? Yeah. Was it the Rams game? Yes, yes.
See?
Yes. I know, man.
Crappiness runs together.
You got me. You got me. Yeah. No, that was Monday.
I'm not trying to get anybody. I know. Oh my God.
No, I know. No, that was against the Rams because it was the night game, and it was the double. I think. You're right. You got me, man. Yes.
I do. Anyways, the whole.
We all know what we mean, though. We all know what we mean. Right. So that's just something that's a big part of this. His comfort in the pocket has not been there. So that doesn't help anybody's case. And I think that's the number one reason he has not looked good for the Bears this year. Let's move on to a bigger picture item.
Okay.
It had been a while, Steve, since Allen Robinson had been asked about any talk centering on a potential contract extension, because Allen Robinson could become a free agent after this season if there is not a franchise tag, if there is not a contract extension. And Robinson has been very quiet on this issue since the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. He was quiet about it until somebody asked him about it earlier this week. Here's Allen.
After what, week two or week three, that, you know, I was putting that behind me. It just comes down to just playing. You know, that's the most important thing right now. You know, like I said, it's about playing well, trying to help get this thing turned around. You know, again, I mean, unfortunately, we're in the situation that we're in, you know, but again, in the league, you know, you're going obstacles and adversity, you know, and that's as a team. That's right now what we're facing, you know. So for us, we either pack it in, you know, or we could pick it up. You know, I'm a person for myself, and you know, like I said, after the game, you know, I'm trying my best, you know, to be able to help pick this thing up. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm putting all that behind me, you know, that'll be talked about or whatever come from that. You know, that's not on my concern at all right now. So whatever that road is, when we get there, we get there.
Somewhere along the line, my theory is that he was told something by somebody which made him happy. Because, like I said, he hasn't brought it up. Been no cryptic social media messages from Allen Robinson. He's always available to the media. Always available to the team. He was representing the team at the coat drive. That's why we heard from Allen Robinson earlier this week. Players who are unhappy with their organization don't do public relations things like that. So it is just not typical. And if they do them, they do them begrudgingly and they give short answers. And that's not the way Allen Robinson has been. So somewhere, somebody told him something to say, hey man, hang in there. We're just working through some things. We're going to get this done. But you got to be patient with us. So I guess that might be a little naive of me to be looking at it as optimistically as I am, but I am looking at it that way because that it all shut down from Allen Robinson after he had the mini, where he was just frustrated earlier in the year. And it seems like he's not anymore.
You know, I believe that, and I will wait till December to disbelieve it, because December is when a lot of these contract things get, you get extensions, you get new deals, there's a lot of end-of-season paper, a lot of end-of-season money that gets spent. I have no idea what might or might not have changed. My head spins with CBA and money and all that, yeah. Salary caps. But right. December is when a lot of this stuff gets done. So I'm going along with you. I never met a conspiracy I didn't want to embrace, Mark, and you just hit on one. I believe that to be true. I also think the Bears, even though Ryan Pace doesn't know squat about offense, he should know something about looking at other teams. Here's four teams I would look at. You look at Minnesota, they're coming in this week. They didn't want to sign Stephon Diggs. They don't have Stephon Diggs. He's not a Viking anymore. They're 3-5. Buffalo has Stephon Diggs. They're 7-2. Not just because of him, but they're much better, and they're leading the NFC East. The AFC East.
Yes.
Okay, I'll bring you two other teams. Houston. Houston is just a train wreck. 2-6, fired Bill O'Brien, who messed up everything. One of the things he did was he traded DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins is a really good receiver. And you can ask Arizona. Arizona's 5-3 with DeAndre Hopkins and a young quarterback. So that's one way I would look at the Bears' refusal to, if you're not going to sign this guy, you can tag him. Maybe somebody else overpays for Allen Robinson. Maybe the Bears are going to tag him. I don't know. You'd be better off having a happier receiver, but they don't much care. And we don't hear from Ryan Pace because he's in hiding. But the other way to look at it is, what would this horrible Bears offense be without Allen Robinson, or the threat of Allen Robinson?
And then you could add another part to that too, like what the Bears thinking might be. And this would be like number three or four on my list of potential reasons they haven't signed Allen Robinson. But the arrival of Darnell Mooney and what he has done, and obviously that's a cheaper option. And then if you want to go back to what Minnesota did, and they lose a top-notch wide receiver, but in the first round this year, they did draft Justin Jefferson, who has been really good. So I hope that's not the route the Bears are going, because I'd love to see Allen Robinson around the Bears for a long time to come. But there is a cheaper option and a potentially effective option for the Bears, and that is if they really think they can get Darnell Mooney to the next level, and there's no reason to think that Darnell Mooney can't eventually be a star in this league, and then if they were to set their sights on drafting a wide receiver in the first round like Minnesota did. So it's all, I mean, everything's on the table in terms of potential theories with Allen Robinson, but I, you know, just since Robinson has been quiet, and for the most part his teammates have been quiet too, and I think that's key, because
yes,
I think there's been right. I mean, one tweet last week from my guy Cordero Patterson. He did say he did throw an extend to Allen Robinson out there, but he was the only one. All right, do we have time for one more? I just heard.
Yeah, you know, we'll come back. We'll take a break. We'll come back and do that. But one final thought on that Allen Robinson thing. Sure. I understand what you're saying about what Minnesota did. That would be a possibility and incredibly stupid, so I wouldn't put it past Ryan Pace, who needs offensive linemen and needs to spend early and big on offensive linemen, and it would be perfectly fitting for him to mess up offensive linemen in the draft again, the way he's messed up quarterbacks. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more of what Mark heard right here on Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Okay, we're back. What Mark heard, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. And to that one texter, because I am just too lame to be able to send a message. It wasn't a book of Yiddish sayings, but there are some in there. It was The Joys of Yiddish by Leo Rostin. Okay, it's a joy. Go read it. Now, Mark, more. What Mark heard? What did you hear?
All right, I got one more, and this one actually pertains to the game that the Bears are playing. And the Bears defensive coordinator, for the second straight week, the Bears are going up against an absolute stud at running back. They had success against Derrick Henry last week. This week, Chuck Pagano, your boys are going up against Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, same one. Just, you know, these great running backs and offensive, you know, systems keep showing up week after week. But really proud of our guys. You know, rose up to the challenge a week ago and did a nice job against, you know, Derrick Henry. And we're going to have to do a lot of the same. It's going to take all 11. This special back that we're playing. And, you know, front side, back side, interior, all that stuff. Everybody is going to take all 11, all three levels playing at their very best to stop this guy and contain this guy. You don't stop him. We just got to contain him.
Bears have done a good job in the past at containing Dalvin Cook for sure, but one thing that Chuck Pagano also said after that, and I love this line, he says, what we've done in the past doesn't mean squat. That was the word choice he used. He is absolutely correct, and when I run through the games this year that Dalvin Cook has had, he has had games of 181 yards, 130 yards, 163 yards, and most recently against Detroit, 206 yards. However, there was one long run that he had against Detroit where the Lions had 10 men on the field, which is not good against Dalvin Cook.
No, I would say 11 is tough against Dalvin Cook. So the Bears have quite the – it's sort of the last 2 weeks brought together. We'll run this by Patrick Finley at the top of the hour. We will take a break and come back, and we'll talk to Patrick Finley of the Sun-Times. The running back they face is their last several games where he's part Alvin Kamara and he's part Derrick Henry. So the idea would be get the part that's Derrick Henry because they controlled him. So we'll see what Patrick thinks of an actual game plan with a new play caller on offense and an old play caller on defense. That's what Mark heard, and we will hear what we will now go to what Patrick heard and thinks. Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day. And get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building? Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney+. Or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love, every day. 18 and up only, offer valid for eligible subscribers only, terms apply.